You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
It's Vision Day, and it's the day that we come together every year to bring God our prayers, to bring God our resolutions, to bring God our hearts, and also to receive vision and direction, not only as a church, but for our lives, and to kind of like take this month of January to present our desires and our lists to God. And then we like to come at the end of January together and just say, all right, this is what we're going to do together. Let's go. Let's chart our territory and expand. And around November last year, I began to receive a word in my heart for the new year. And Alenia and I both began to pray and discuss and really grapple with it on what it would mean for our church and what it would mean for you, not only us as a community, but you as a person who desires to grow not only closer to God, but closer to your destiny. And what this would mean for us in 2019. And the word that God gave us and put in our hearts for the year is that this is our year to grow stronger. This is our year to grow stronger in our lives and in the church. And so that's the title of my message today. Let's grow stronger. Grow stronger with vision. And vision is important. Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, that where there's no vision, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Now, this tells me two things. First is that vision must be prophetic, which means that vision sees as it should be. Vision sees before it has been. Prophetic vision, I've said it here before, is the ability to see as it should be, which means that someone with vision can see the victory in the middle of the battle. Someone with vision can see the finish line while they're still racing uphill. Someone with vision can see peace in the midst of war. Someone with vision can see prosperity when they're still on a tight budget. Vision sees as it should be. And the second thing that this passage tells me is that vision causes restraint. Now, this is not lack of freedom. This is giving your freedom a purpose. This is giving your freedom direction. This is giving your freedom a sense of direction so that you won't veer to the right or to the left, but you will be committed to accomplish what your life is meant to accomplish. And one of the greatest examples of vision in modern U.S. history, I believe, is Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He was a man of vision. We just celebrated his life last Monday. But there's a reason why we have a day to celebrate him. There's a reason why we have a day to celebrate his mission and what he has done, not only for our culture, but for the world, really, and for people that were injusticed and that were bound by the chains of injustice. Because he was a man committed to the vision that God gave him. He was a man that was able to see things before it happened. In March 1968, there was a sanitation strike in Memphis, and things got a little out of hand during a demonstration. There were about 20,000 people making a demonstration that was supposed to be peaceful. But it got out of hand and things became violent and violence erupted. They had to take basically escort Martin Luther King, Dr. King, out of there in a hurry. And the mayor of Memphis was very much against every kind of demonstration or anything that had anything to do with the civil rights movement. So he tried to make efforts to stop everything. And against his desire, or even the counsel of his friends who told him that it wasn't safe for him to go back, Dr. King felt that it was paramount that he would go back to Memphis to drive home the message of peace and nonviolence in the movement, in the civil rights movement. So he went back, and in a room full of people that were expecting to hear, he said these words: "We aren't engaged in any negative protest. And in any negative arguments with anybody, we are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we don't want to have to live like life like we're forced to live. And then in a way that only Dr. King could do, he brought a beautiful juxtaposition of his mission, of his vision, with that of Moses. When God took Moses at the end of the journey through the wilderness, when he had brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery, and at the edge of the promised land, when God took Moses up to the hill to see the promised land, Dr. King shares these words. He said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. That became his very last sermon. It ended up being prophetic because the very next day, he was assassinated. But the fact that he had that vision, that he was able to share that vision, it was because of that that we have seen all the progress that we have seen in America. And it's because of that that really the world has been changed. There's still, and the work still continues because of that vision. And that's what vision does. Vision sets the course despite the obstacles. Vision is able to see beyond the barriers. Vision refuses to believe or remain in the status quo, but it goes beyond. And prophetic vision draws its sense not from the present reality, draws its sense not from the present circumstances, but prophetic vision draws its reality from God's will. So what's your vision today? What's your vision for the new year? I must tell you, whatever you want to see and want to accomplish in the new year, it will require vision. See, vision defines. Vision clarifies. Vision sets direction. Without vision, we run the risk of living a life without direction, responding to simply to our cravings and our desires at the very moment. Without vision, we not only lack clarity on what we are to do, but equally as important, we lack clarity on what we are not to do. And vision, I've said this here before, vision defines of what you are set apart to, because what you're set apart for should determine what you are set apart from. And vision does that. Vision causes you to see as it should be. It gives you eyes to see the prize. And with vision, you are willing to endure the present trials. You're willing to submit your life to the present circumstances today because you can see the victory of tomorrow. You can see what is ahead. If you have a vision for your body, for fitness in your body, you will restrict yourself from things that are unhealthy, like chocolate cake. Which, by the way, it's cake, and then chocolate fudge, and then chocolate cake, and then chocolate mousse, and then chocolate cake, and then chocolate ganache. I think I just unpreached my message right now. Listen, don't worry. Today doesn't count, okay? We're going to celebrate our anniversary with chocolate cake. If you have a six pack, leave one here. Go home with five. All right? It's going to be worth it. You can gain it back. See, we preach the message and we test you on the way out. How about that? So what's your vision for this year? What's your vision for the future? Let me break it down further. What's your vision for your relationships? What's your vision for your marriage? What's your vision for your career? What's your vision for your family? Now, I realize that I'm provoking two kinds of reactions right now. Because some of you are going, yep, awesome. Needed to hear that. Awesome. This is great vision. Yes, awesome. I'm fired up. Yeah. And you're getting excited and you're going, let's go. Vision. Yeah. But some of you are going, JD, back off. back off right now, because when I say vision, 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 what you hear is pressure, pressure, pressure. What you hear is like, it's your mom, it's your dad, it's your uncle, it's your boss, all in once. So back off, JD. You might be feeling like that right now. And if that's you, if you feel pressure when you hear questions of vision and of planning and things like that, I get it. See, growing up, I've shared this here before, that I tended to lean more toward the arts, like music and singing and a little bit of writing. And so the creative realm was more of where I leaned toward instead of sports, right? I had a guy come up to the gym, come up to me at the gym the other day, and he just asked me, "So basketball or football?" And I said, "Neither." And he said, "What a waste." And then he said, "We really could use you in the Giants." I'm like, "I don't know if you work for them, but sure, I'm a free agent." I don't even know what that means. But growing up, you know, I grew up with this wrong idea, but really strong idea, that the best way to be productive was to be spontaneous. That creativity happens best when it's spontaneous. So spontaneity is the spark that you need so that you can progress in all things creative. And that was my mindset. Like I gotta feel it, you know. I gotta feel like practicing so that I can go practice. I gotta feel like writing so I can go write. I gotta feel like singing, because when you feel it, you know, you can go and do it. And I thank God that I got married early, because bills are not spontaneous, and rent is not spontaneous. And you guys know, work is not spontaneous. Life is not spontaneous. And maybe that's you here today. Maybe the reason why the idea of vision feels like pressure to you, because for you, you feel like that. You still operate like that. You still go like, you know what? I'll get to it when I get to it. I'm going to do things when I want to do things. And when I feel like doing things, then I'm going to engage. So back off. I'll do it when I feel like it. I hate to break it to you. Just hate a little bit, because, you know, this is good for you. But there's no way to be spontaneous and excellent. You're going to be either, or you're going to be one or the other. Accomplishing a great vision is never spontaneous. And greatness cannot be spontaneous. See, work, like I said, is not spontaneous. Have you ever seen somebody who played sports that they played so well, it felt like they were just playing out of pure talent? Like they were so good that you were like, that person is basically a freak of nature, because the way that they play that sport, like nobody can play like that. Or maybe you heard somebody sing in a way that was so good, they were like, that person was born singing. Like, nobody can sing like that. And they probably didn't have to train to practice a lot. They put no effort into singing because it looks effortless. I promise you, I guarantee you, that person is not only talented, but they had a vision that they stuck with and they practiced. Because, you know, a great vision happens with disciplined repetition. That's how achievement comes. You can't stumble into greatness. And like I said, excellence cannot be spontaneous. You need a vision to stick to. And if you don't have a vision here today, or maybe you have 10 visions and you're trying to decide, it's a little bit scattered, I want to help you today to either ignite or simplify your strategy. So I'm going to give you 3 things today that can help you define vision for your life in 2019 and help you really bring things come to pass. Because I believe that God wants you and God wants us to grow stronger this year. And I believe that when we come to the end of the year together, you will be stronger. We will be stronger. In Nehemiah received news that his home country was in shambles. He received news that houses were burnt down and the walls were down in Jerusalem, and there was only a few remnant from the exile that were still in Jerusalem. And these are the words in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, that's Nehemiah, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Now, this is where we should all start when we are looking to develop a vision of God for our lives. This is where we should start. Prayer. Praying to God each day. That's why we encourage you to pray daily. That's why we encourage you to continuously pray first thing in the morning, to tune into God's will first thing in the morning, to have your heart align with the heart of God and receive from God through prayer inspiration, confidence, and connection with God. Now, we're finishing up a 21 days of prayer and fasting journey right now today. And it's been a great journey of prayer in our community last year, you know. And we've been praying for you. We've been praying for our city. We've been praying for our community. We've been praying for Connect Community. And prayer is something that we absolutely believe in as a church. In the last few months, we've been growing in our culture of prayer. We started a weekly prayer meeting on Wednesdays, and each week we come to pray for you. We get together each Wednesday with about 15 of us, and we pray for every non-confidential prayer request that you put in, that you submit. And we have seen so many answered prayers. At the end of last year, we got together and we started writing out all the prayer reports that we could remember. And we have this whiteboard that we begin to write it down. It filled the board with all the prayer results. Why? Because prayer works. God answers prayers. James 5:13-16 says this: "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, it will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of the righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." And as a community, we will continue to pray. We will pray earnestly. 2019 will be a year of prayer. We will grow stronger in prayer. And you need to know this, that you are not alone. That we are praying for you. That we'll continue to pray for you. That this is a community that wants to see your future brighter. We pray because we believe that not only God has a purpose for your life, but we believe that you were meant to succeed. And that God has called you to succeed in every single area of your life according to His will. So we will continue to pray for you in the new year so that you may grow stronger and we can grow stronger together. And we're adding to that, which I'm really excited about, a first Wednesday get together. Every first Wednesday of the month, our team is going to get together. Everybody who is involved in a team here at Connect Community, we will come together right here at Ripple One Middle School, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to have team time. We're going to pray. We're going to worship. And anybody who wants to be a part of a team and get engaged, you're welcome to come every first Wednesday, because we believe that through prayer and coming together and serving, we can grow stronger. And we're going to continue to do that this new year. Prayer is important because prayer tests our spirit. Prayer tests our intentions. And if you've gotten your hand on vision and you go like, "All right, JD, I do have a vision, and I've tried out having a vision, and it really, you know, for me it's been off a little bit." Through prayer, you'll realize this: it's not any vision that can fulfill you. There is a God vision for your life that can fulfill you. And if you need a vision, if you need a God vision for your life, gotta pray like Nehemiah. Because when Nehemiah fasted and prayed before the Lord continuously, God gave him a vision. And God gave him a vision that was worth his life. And if you place your life before God and you pray and you say, God, I need a vision for my life. I need a vision for my marriage. I need a vision for my career. I need a vision. God will give you a vision that will be worth your life. The second thing that will help you grow stronger this year, that will either simplify or ignite your vision this year, is this. Identify the one thing. It's very important when you receive vision in prayer, when God gives you a big vision, that you identify the one thing that can make immediate difference. See, with any vision, there will be obstacles. And if you have a God vision, it will most certainly be overwhelming. Because a God vision is bigger than you. A God vision is not comfortable. A God vision is not easy. A prophetic vision will go beyond your reach. It'll go beyond your abilities. See, you don't need a prophetic vision for what's right in front of you, for what you can do yourself, for what's within the scope of your abilities. You can just go ahead and do it. But when God gives you a vision, it will feel like you can't do it by yourself, like you cannot accomplish on your own. And that's why it's important for you to, in prayer, identify what is the one thing that I can do right now that will make a difference everywhere. It starts with what's right in front of you. See, Nehemiah's prophetic vision was big. He wanted to rebuild the entire city. He wanted to see Jerusalem restored. And at the time, he wasn't even there. He was all the way in the palace of the king of Persia. As an official, he was serving the king of Persia in the palace. And he had this vision. And he hadn't talked to anybody yet. So this is what happened. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The king asked, well, how can I help you? With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, if it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. I need you to pay attention to this scenario, because Nehemiah's plan was very ambitious. It was nearly impossible. He was without contact, and he was in the palace. He hadn't talked to anybody. But Jerusalem was surrounded by people who did not want to see it restored. And he's talking about rebuilding houses, rebuilding the wall, rebuilding the city, so that more than 50,000 people can come in and live in there. This was ambitious. How can you rebuild a city when you're surrounded by enemies who want to see you stay down, who want to see you perish? How did he do it? So he made the journey. He went to Jerusalem without explaining what he was to do, what he wanted to do. And when he got there, he gathered all the officials and the people, and he presented the vision in this way. Listen to his words, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. But now I said to them, you know very well that what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Notice, he didn't say, we're going to rebuild the whole city. He didn't say, let's come together and get each of you a house. Let's rebuild your houses, so that he could convince them. He identified the one thing that could make the greatest difference. He identified the one thing that would get all of them together behind the vision, and that would also propel them to succeed. He identified the one thing that would make all the difference so that the vision could be fulfilled. So let me ask you this. In your life, what is the one thing that if it got better, would make your whole life better right now? What is the one thing in your life that if you changed it, if you took action, if you invested in it, if you put some time, some effort into it, if you apply discipline, would make every other area of your life better? There is an area of your life that can make everything else better. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, Philippians 3:13. Forgetting the past and looking toward what lie forward to what lies ahead. He focused on the prize. I run to the prize. I focus on this one thing. I have much to do. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not where I should be. I haven't arrived it yet. But I have this one thing that I do. I have this one thing that I focus on. And this one thing makes everything else better. Now, do you have 10 things that you need to accomplish in the vision that God will give you or that God has given you? Sure. Is the vision great? Is the vision overwhelming? Does it seem impossible? It should. If it's a God vision, He will make sure that you can't do it without Him. He will make sure that you will need Him to accomplish it. What can you do today? Identify the one thing in your life right now that can make a difference. For some of you, it's as simple as going to bed on time. For some of you, it's starting that class that you've been meaning to start. For some of you, it's letting go of a relationship that you know it's toxic. You know every time you leave that conversation, it's poison and it's not doing you any good. For some of you, it's exercising 3 times a week. Just commit to it. For some of you, it's slicing those credit cards and doing what you need to do. See, Dr. King said that faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase. So what's your first step today? What is the one thing that God is asking you to do so that you can accomplish the vision? What is God calling you to do today? Is He calling you into financial health? Do you feel that call in your heart? Is He calling you to a better marriage? Is He calling you to have more discipline in your life? Whatever it is, commit to it. You might have a long list of resolutions. You might have a long list that you want to accomplish this year. But let me encourage you with this. Out of that list, identify the one thing that can make a difference in your whole life and commit to that one thing this year. Tell yourself and commit to this saying, I will decide to do this one thing. Even if I don't do everything else on that list, I'm going to do this one thing. By the end of 2019, I will have accomplished this one thing. Identify this one thing, commit to it, and I believe you'll grow stronger. For our church, the one thing last year was to make sure that we had an assimilation process. So we worked on getting together, putting together a class you now know as the starting point. But we had been working on that for a long time. This year, it's committing to leadership. Committing to building teams and increasing the leadership in our teams. We want to see our teams grow in every way. And we believe that if we do that, every single area of our church will be better. We'll be able to care for people better. We'll be able to have our Sundays will be better. We'll be able to reach our communities better. And we'll be able to create space so that many of you who have your calling, who want to serve, who are meant to serve in this church, in this community, will have a space that you can serve. We believe that that will make a difference in our community. So we will commit to that one thing as a church. We have a big vision. A vision that's bigger than all of us here can accomplish together at this stage. But guess what? We're going to do this one thing this year. And we're going to see God use that one thing. So that next year, we're closer to the great vision that God has for Connect Community in Stamford, Connecticut. And we're going to keep going. That's right, we're going to keep going. As long as there's people to be saved, as long as there's people to be restored, as long as there's people to be loved and be embraced, we're going to keep going together as a church. Let's grow stronger. Third thing that will help you grow stronger and stay with it. Hold on to joy. Whatever you go through this year, make a decision that you're going to hold on to joy. They're going to harness joy in your heart. They're going to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. See, one of the great problems of our generation, especially here in this region of the country, is stress and burnout. We deal with it all the time. And a lot of it has to do with work. Now, psychologists have been doing a comparative study of the symptoms between burnout and depression. And they found something very interesting. There's absolutely no difference between burnout and depression. It turns out that burnout is good old clinical depression. So stress and burnout can affect your soul in a way that's very unique because it makes you negative. It puts you down. It makes you sour. It makes you just be dejected. And typically what we do when we're stressed and burned out is that we don't want to see anybody. And guess what? It's very hard to accomplish a vision when you're feeling dejected. It's very hard for you to see a future that's bright when you're feeling miserable. Now, guess what has been found to be the remedy for burnout? Guess what studies have been found, including a Harvard research, that has found that helps you survive stress? Guess what's the one thing that is the greatest predictor of happiness in your life that these studies have found? Social connection. Getting together with other people. Sharing your life with friends and family. That's the one thing that has been proven to fight off burnout and to fight off depression and stress. And that's the one thing that we don't want to do when we're stressed out and burned out, right? You're stressed out from work. You're burned out from, you know, whatever else is going on in your life. And you want to go home. You want to draw the shades. You're going to grab a pint of ice cream and just Netflix all day by yourself. And that's really what you should not do. The best thing for you is to call a friend, get some people together, and just laugh and just have joy in your heart. Now, these are studies that have been published recently. But listen to what the word says, scripture that has been written 2,500 years ago. After Nehemiah finished the wall, he assembled the people. Some 50,000 people came together. And they began to read from the book of the law. And as the people began to read, began to listen, and as Ezra read the book of the law, as they began to listen, they began to feel sad. Because they realized why they were in the situation that they were in. They realized that it was their fault. They began to feel down and depressed and dejected. As they began to hear, weep, this is what happened. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, "Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this. For today is sacred, it's a sacred day before the Lord your God." For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, "Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Do not be dejected or sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Plainly put, when you are sad and dejected, you need some people around you. You just need a party. You just need to find a reason to celebrate, to remind yourself that your life is sacred, to remind yourself that your life is in God's hands, to remind yourself that He has control, to remind yourself that you have a purpose in Him, and you got to trust Him and hold on to joy. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why we are committed to Connect Groups. Now, last year we had three of the best seasons of Connect Groups. It was one of the best years, probably the best year of Connect Groups we've had so far. Not only did our Connect Groups get together in people's homes and cafes, but last year we were able to serve two families and just help them as a bunch of Connect Groups got together on our serve day. Also, last year, one of our Connect groups got together with some people in a local organization where we're encouraging them. You know, some of these people have really hit rock bottom, and they just need people to come around them to say, you know what, you can make it. You know what, let's just laugh together. Let's just celebrate together. You know what, there's a brighter future ahead. And so we have a Connect group that gets together once a month, and we serve them. We have fun with them. We laugh with them. We eat with them. And because we believe that the joy of the Lord is their strength. Now, we all need that. We all need somebody to laugh with. We all need somebody who makes us laugh. We all need somebody that we can call upon. And that's why Connect groups are important, and that's what Connect groups are designed to do. So that you can come together with people, and you can have somebody that you can call. You can have somebody that can help you. And this year, we are committed to do better, to have better Connect groups and have more Connect groups so all of you can be part of a Connect group. We're starting 10 groups today, 10 Connect groups this season. It's going to be amazing. And I hear that there's another one. I think it might be 11. So why do we do this? Because we need it. Because you need it. See, Sunday mornings are beautiful. It is really the highlight of our week. Our daughters are so excited on Saturday because the next day is church day. And they love coming to church on church day. Props to our Connect Kids team. Now, Sundays are powerful, and it's great that we get together, that we celebrate, that we sing. But you can get in here, sing, listen to the word, and walk right out. You need somebody who can call you. You need somebody on your phone that you can call upon and say, hey, I need prayer today, man. Hey, friend, I just, can we get together? And I just need to process something. I just need to talk something out with you. You need people to just come together and just laugh and just have a good time. Someone you can pray for, someone who can pray for you. And that's why we believe that every single one of us, we got to have some godly people in our lives. Some godly people who can see past our deficiencies, see past our shortcomings. People that will not look at you and judge you, but that will believe in you and say, come on, you can do better. Come on, you can get up again. Come on, you're going to make it. Come on, you're better than this. Come on, God has a vision for your life. Come on, you're going to make it. Come on, let's go this. Come on, you're not alone. And we are together. People who can make you laugh when you feel like crying. And that's what we're going to do this year together. In our Connect groups. So sign up. Sign up. Because the joy of the Lord makes you stronger. God has a vision for your life. And we believe that this year, He wants us to grow stronger together. So remember to pray. Pray that your heart may align with God's heart. Pray that your life may serve a purpose. And that you may receive vision from God. Identify the one thing. Identify that one thing that can make everything else better. The one thing that if it got better, could make everything else better in your life. And then commit to that thing. And also, hold on to joy. Don't let anything steal your joy. Hold on to joy and live 2019 joyful. Get in a Connect group. Surround yourself with godly people. And make time to laugh. You'll grow stronger this year. If you do that, this will not be an average year. This will not be just another year. This will be a year of victory. A year where you'll go stronger. You'll grow stronger. A year where you will see God's vision for your life, for your family, for our city, for this church unfold right before your eyes. Do you receive it this morning?